To talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is 818-501-4721. To talk to George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 800-825-5033. To talk to George toll-free from west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may talk to George by dialing their in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. Live deep in the heart of Texas, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Okay, that's what we're going to do this hour. Some of you have been waiting for at least an hour with our guest Alex Jones, so we'll be right back. We'll take phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Well, he's here, Alex Jones in the studio. I'm George Norrie, and your phone calls. Alex, your websites, of course, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. What's new on the horizon for you? You do a lot of television productions and DVDs, don't you?
Well, I'm not Emmy Award-winning three times like you. Not even once. But they are important films. We talked about Bohemian Grove in the last hour. Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, 2 hours long. It's available at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com via the Secure Safe shopping cart. Or folks can call toll-free to get any of my 9/11 videos or any of my acclaimed Police State films or a lot of other books and videos by other great authors that we carry at PrisonPlanet.com or even PrisonPlanet.tv or Infowars.com. And I'm coming out with a new film here pretty soon, Martial Law. We just played a clip of it. But my latest film that's currently out is American Dictators, and it gets into Skull and Bones and Bohemian Grove and the whole New World Order master plan as well. And I'm even selling these videos right now as low as $5.95 a piece, and people are authorized to make copies of them.
And give them to their friends?
For nonprofit educational purposes. If you buy one copy, make 10,000 copies, folks.
As long as they're not reselling them, right?
You don't
want to do that.
And then even on the... Sometimes I just can't even turn a blind eye. I just want to get the information out to people. Folks are showing them at just dozens every week now. I hear of movie theaters showing them locally. And people can instantly go to PrisonPlanet.tv, and they can watch all 12 of my films, hundreds of special TV reports I've done, read my book, Paul Watson's book online, hundreds of audio interviews, PrisonPlanet.tv. It's 15 cents a day. There's monthly subscriptions right there. And share your codes with people. I don't care. I just want to get the information out to people. And right now, in the middle of the night, operators are there. If you want the films, want to call and ask about the different titles, 1-888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. And, George, I first off just want to thank you for letting me sit up here for 3 hours with you on the mountain at the summit, as big as it gets when it comes to alternative media on the planet. And you got a lot of courage and a lot of insight. And again, I am humbled, and it's just an intense pleasure and a dream come true to not just be on Coast to Coast AM, but to be in studio with George Norrie. And so, again, George, thank you so much.
I have a feeling that your notoriety is just beginning.
Oh,
quite
wow.
Frankly, Alex, I think more and more people, and I think you can tell by the hits on your website, that more and more people are curious, fascinated, puzzled, interested about the things you do.
About 9 million visitors a month, so I guess about, we get about, in a month, about half the visitors you get in a day. So, George, I'm down here in a foothill, and you're up on the mountain. But yeah, I mean, that's a lot of people just coming to my little website. A month, 9 million individual people.
That's huge.
Yeah, but people are hungry for this. I mean, that's why your show's number one everywhere, is because they're hungry for alternative news. And everybody else keeps wondering why nobody's tuning into them, because they're not telling the truth, George. They don't have the courage.
To the phones we go. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with Alex Jones. Hi there.
Yes, I'm a former member of Skull and Bones.
You were?
Yes.
Tell me about this.
What year were you tapped?
It was 1973.
Okay, and what was the first ritual? What area of the crypt did you engage in?
I'll be honest with you, I appreciate the work you're doing, but I've had a difficult time distancing myself, and I don't feel really comfortable talking about the specifics right now. But
Come on, let's hear it. The specifics are public. So, I mean, if you haven't even researched the specifics for your gag, then you, or if it's real, because we may be sitting in the room very close to Skull and Bones people right now. I'm being sarcastic. Seriously, tell me. Give me specifics. What's the handshake?
Well, I had to take an oath to the Pentaveret.
Now you're being sarcastic.
No, I'm serious.
No. Tell me what the inner member handshake is.
That's what it is. It's the Pentaveret, and it involves the Queen.
What university did you go to?
What's that? I don't feel comfortable. I'm at university right now.
No, what university did you graduate from when you were at Skull and Bones, Yale?
You know, that's a knockoff. It's the classic thing of it's the Queen, the Gettys, and Colonel Sanders with his wee bitty eyes. He's joking with us.
You don't believe him.
No, he's being sarcastic about the Pentaveret. That's just...
Is that what gave it up for him?
Yeah, it's a joke about Colonel Sanders. It's some movie. It's a funny clip.
Was it? I didn't see that. I missed it.
Yeah, they make a joke. Who's the guy who plays Dr. Evil? Mike Myers. He was in some other really funny film. It's the one where he's talking about his kid in the film. And he goes, look at the size of the head. It has its own weather systems. Anyways.
All right. Well, you caught him. First time caller line. Welcome to Coast. Hi there. Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead. Speak up, sir.
Hi, George, Alex. I'm calling regarding the microbiologist deaths that have been so numerous lately.
Yes. Yes, sir.
I believe what they're doing is selling a prohibited drug by the FDA here in the United States called Revivalin. It's Methuselah.
Hold on. Who's selling this?
Well, basically, the FDA says it can't be sold in the United States. And the only way that you can obtain this, it's a Methuselah gene therapy.
Well, what's this got to do with the microbiologists who are dying?
In order to get this legally, you have to go to Mexico, and it costs $50,000 to take this injection, and you have to be on a CIA-approved list.
Well, you know, you still haven't told me, though, what does this have to do with the microbiologist?
Yeah, why are they off knocking off microbiologists?
Well, these guys are actually dealing in Revivalin outside of the approved system, and they're giving it to, you know, people that are poor.
Yeah, but, I mean, just because they're microbiologists doesn't mean they have the laboratory to make this stuff if it even exists.
No. George Merkel made this, he discovered this Condriana that later became known as Revivalin. And what it does is it boosts your immune system, and you don't get sick ever after you go through this period where they give you the injection, your temperature goes up, they have to watch you for 6 hours. And basically what it is it's revived ancient...
And Colonel Sanders is in control of that, too.
Beg your pardon?
I'm being sarcastic from the movie. Just Revivalin. I mean, come on.
Sometimes people don't catch your sense of humor.
I'm sorry, I'm being rude. I'm being obnoxious, and I apologize. I mean, to me, I'm neurotic about. There's so much crazy, unbelievable stuff that's admitted that's the one thing that I think discredits. You know, so many people that are trying to talk about real issues that are unbelievable is that there's just so much. I mean, maybe he's right, but I mean, it just...
Well, he's probably talking about something that doesn't include the microbiologists, and that is, of course, what the pharmaceutical giants are doing to all of us.
Oh, we know they keep secret the live extension technologies. That's what the whole New World Order is about, so the elite gets all this and we don't.
Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with Alex Jones. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Lisa, and I'm calling from Fresno, California.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Go ahead there.
Great. Alex, I have to tell you, I admire your investigative talents. And what I wanted to talk about was concentration camps in America. I am a former trucker, and I am a witness to the concentration camp that was built in Death Valley. And do you believe in them? I know Ed Dame says that there are none, but I am a witness that they have crematoriums in them and everything.
You are a witness to crematoriums. Well, since you mentioned this, the several Colorado papers 3 years ago quoted the governor. One of them was the Rocky Mountain News, as saying that during what George mentioned in the first hour under the Model States Health Emergency Powers Act that they already have, he said, crematoriums ready to burn the diseased bodies. And they do have these emergency roundup centers. And then I had the former city councilwoman on my little radio show. And she was there talking about this Operation Top-Off drill they did right before 2001, where they practiced roundups of the citizens into the local sports stadium.
So 84.
And that, well, that came out in the Senate hearings in 1986,
right,
concerning FEMA camps and the executive orders. And Colonel North, are you aware of the plan to round up Americans and put them in camps? I've seen it in the Miami papers. And then Senator Inouye, the head of the committee, said, and now Congressman Brooks, I will ask you not bring up that question at this time. We can talk about that at an executive session if you'd like to. And I have that in my film, America Destroyed by Design. So you're absolutely right. Rex 84, the mass concentration camp internment program. And I'm looking at my book here. George also has a copy over there from. And on page 145, I have a copy off the Army's official website. This was left up until I called Yovani Wildanger, Plan and Operation Division, OACSIM. And I told her I'd like you to be on the radio show. And that day it was taken down. And it talks about the concentration camps that Americans have been in since 1984. And they declassified the concentration camps, the 12 camps Americans are in right now, in 1990. And it lists the camps that people are in. But when you think of camps, they aren't sticking them in ovens yet. It's a test program. They take federal inmates, and then they ship them to these military bases. And these aren't military wards. These aren't people who were in the military and got put in the Huskow or the Brig. These are federal inmates, and they talk about how they're going to start it with the states. And they ship them out there, and they're told you're going to work. And they work them at these large military bases where they have these camps, and they're involved in manufacturing. And
they've got special chains, by the way. Did you know that? Where you can, if you went to one of these camps, you would see chains that were built into the ground where you would put them on people, like dogs, in case they went crazy, in case something happened, in case you needed to control them.
Well, George, you just blew me away with that comment. Have you seen my film, The Takeover?
No, I haven't seen that.
It was on local Fox News here in Austin. And Fox 7, there's one of the producers in there, a local. Have you seen that piece I did? Well, I went out and shot my own video, and then a little clip of the local newscast. And on it, this is in 1999. They took an old 747 hangar at the old Robert Mueller Municipal Airport. And they went in and they refurbished it. And I was told this by a security guard. And I went out and interviewed locals, and troops came up and said, get out of here. And they put bolts and chains in the floors, barbed wire fences inside of the facility itself, porta potties and little cots, little thin styrofoam cots. The exact thing we saw at New York at Pier 57. We got inside photos from inside there. They also have places to chain thousands of people down, and every major city has put one of these facilities in, George.
In 1998, I interviewed a guy named Don Bradley, who was investigating these camps, and now no one can find him. Did you know him? Did you ever hear his name before?
I think he mentioned this last time. Yes, it rings a bell. Wasn't he up in, like, Indianapolis?
Somewhere like that.
Yeah.
And they can't find him. Nobody can.
Well, also, people go out to these facilities. And we've gone from 1.3 million in prison 10 years ago to 7 million in the system now. They're building more prisons everywhere.
And that's going to be all private one day, I guarantee you.
Well, it already
Some
most of it is.
Some huge corporation will come in, public company, whatever, and become the prison company
and
around this country.
And they're building them everywhere. So those are open, you know, facilities right there in front of us. But the classical concentration camps, take Manazar Prison in the high desert of California. That thing was held the Japanese. It was reopened about 8 years ago. And I've been there and taken photos, and they're on the website, and it says Federal Prison Camp. And now they don't just have the federal prison prisoners there. They've been radically expanding it, George, and building all these new facilities. So you have those type of camps. And then you have the old shutdown military bases where they put in new barbed wire, put in water, put in areas, put in lights, and then leave. And people go, well, those aren't camps. Well, that was until Newsmax. And then the Associated Press 2 years ago found the three purchase orders for 3 1-million-man camps. And these are facilities that are set up and then left alone. And that's what people have been seeing and pointing out. You know, why are they putting new barbed wire on the shutdown base? Right out here at Bastrop, there's an old prisoner of war camp from World War II, 20 miles from where we sit, George. And they've gone into that old camp where they held German soldiers, right here outside Austin, Texas, and they have fixed it back up. So what's going on?
With wonderful magic, before people are told the trick, if you ever are told the trick, they have this illusion. And it's this illusion that dazzles people. Somewhere along the line, they're giving us this illusion. And no one, maybe you do, sees what the trick is.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a great point. You'll have the magician, and you're looking at his good-looking assistant's cleavage. And while you're busy focused on that, he's doing the sleight-of-hand trick. And I learned that stuff because I grew up next door to Mr. Huckabee, who was big, you know, famous magician, about to say musician, that word was escaping me, but he actually showed me a lot of his tricks. He lived right next door
to us. It's all an illusion.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening now. Next up, let's go to our west of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air with Alex Jones. Hi there.
Hi, gentlemen. Great show tonight.
Sure.
Alex, I think your 9/11 Road to Tyranny show should be in everybody's home to watch because it's so informative and to the point. I did extensive 9/11 research, actually, for another guest that's been on the show two or three times. And, Alex, I just wanted to maybe get you to talk a little bit about the pulling of Building 7, where all the DAT security records were.
And I was just going to ask you about that, too. What did, and thanks for the call, what did the owner of Building 7 say, because that shouldn't have been affected, right? But all of a sudden, didn't it go down too?
Well, Jimmy Walter, who is the heir to the Walter home building fortune.
Empire.
Billion. He looked at my website, saw the video clips, saw the evidence, saw the films, and did some other research, and he spent $3.5 million on ads and radio, TV, TV ads in New York, where he just says, okay, the owner says this, and here's the video of this, and what are you going to do? Tell us why you said this. So the point is, $3.5 million's been spent, you know, full-page ads in Newsweek. I mean, just everywhere. Advertising this, asking the question. And I've called...
Who's the owner?
I've called Larry Silverstein's office over a dozen times, because I'm the guy that broke this story. And the only reason I broke it is because a listener said, I just saw PPS, and the owner of the World Trade Center complex, Larry Silverstein, said that they made the decision to pull Building 7 on 9/11 and gave the order and watched it come down. And I emailed the listener back, and I said, you got a tape of that? And he said, yeah, it'll be there in 3 days. Well, it was there 2 days later, FedEx. And I popped it in, and it was PBS with...
Well, now let me ask you the devil's advocate question, though. With those two towers smashed into in a heap of rubble, what was wrong with the owner wanting to demolish his other building?
Well, no, that's the listen. The point is they say it fell because of small fires. The official FEMA report is it fell because of fire. And what happens is we've had White House officials slip up under Clinton and Bush and go, when the missile hit TWA Flight 800. You know, they slip up and just say this stuff. It's like Giuliani. We had had Mr. Kennedy, one of the FEMA directors, said, well, we were there in New York the night before on September 10th and deployed the morning after. People said, oh, well, that was a slip of the tongue when he said that on CBS. But then Giuliani, a few months ago, gets up before the 9/11 Commission and goes, well, we had a drill, luckily, that next morning, so we were already out of the command center, tripod too. So see, that's, I mean, they're saying this. We're not, you know, conjuring it up. And look, two jets hit these towers. Modern steel buildings had never fallen from jet fuel. Jet fuel burns at 1,800 degrees. Hardened steel doesn't even get red until 2,500. People are standing in the holes in the buildings. There's smoke coming out. And I've got the photos of hundreds of people standing in the holes in the buildings. You know, after the first jet fuel hit and people jumped out,
sure.
30 minutes later, they're standing there. The fires are almost out. I have the firefighter tapes on the website. The feds first claimed it malfunctioned. And there are the firefighters, you know, saying the fires are almost out, send up more ladders. I mean, firefighters aren't dumb. Firefighter Engineering, the oldest firefighting publication in the country, came out and said, no way, steel did that. The underwriters of the buildings released the information saying, we did our own test, this doesn't happen. But let's give it to them. Let's say jet fuel made Tower 1 and 2 fall. Well, I guess when we get back, I can describe
this. Let's do that when we come back from the break.
Yeah, Building 7 is way far away. But
Exactly. But if he wanted to demolish it on his own, he should have said that.
Well, he should have said that, and Building 7 was not hit by a plane, and you've been to New York. I was just there making this film. I mean, there are buildings right snug up against it that were lightly damaged. I mean, up against
the
towers.
We'll be back in a moment.
This thing's down the block.
See the lonely man there on the corner, while he's waiting for a light on the road. But he waits every day now, he's just waiting for someone to show.
George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is 818-501-4721. To talk to George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 800-825-5033. To talk to George toll-free from west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may talk to George by dialing their in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. Live, deep in the heart of Texas, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Indeed, I'm in Austin, Texas. Tomorrow is the Talk Fest here. They're expecting close to 3,000 people, maybe more. The event is free, so come on out and watch the program. They've got a number of their talk show hosts will be there. I'll be there from 2 until 4 Central Time. Come on by and give me a friendly Texas hello, I guess. We'll be back in a moment with Alex Jones and the rest of your calls at Coast to Coast AM. Okay, Alex, before we go back to the calls, explain to me this rationale of whether Building 7 was taken down or crashed and fell down because of all the fire. As you say, it was a long way away from the two towers, right?
Yeah, and then when it fell, buildings literally 40 feet from it didn't even hardly get any damage. They're like two big buildings right up against it. And when you're in New York, I mean, there's the Millennium Hilton, there's the Bankers Trust that was 50 feet away from the South Tower.
Right.
And it just got some damage, got a fire, didn't collapse. And then later in the afternoon, it just gets a few small fires. We have the photos, the video, little bitty fires in there. Mm-hmm. It was also the command bunker for Giuliani, the CIA, the Defense Department, Security and Exchange. Commission.
Okay.
They're all in this building, and then it gets a few fires in it after they evacuate, but the other buildings don't have fires, and then it just suddenly collapses perfectly, falls in on itself. And we go, well, maybe these first two towers, but what about this one?
Right.
You know, it's everything that Silverstein owns, and then he's got these giant insurance policies. He'd owned seven 2 decades ago, but just a few months before, from the Port Authority, he bought all of the World Trade Center complex, the seven buildings. All of those were destroyed or damaged beyond repair, and seven was this last building, and it just collapses. So then firefighters told AP reporters, get back, we're about to pull it. That had come out. Local news had reported they might bring the building down. Well, you don't just do this in a few hours. But then that was always hanging out there, so we were pointing out, what happened with seven? What happened with seven? Mm-hmm. Then this interview shows up on PBS with Silverstein saying, well, there had been such a loss of life, and it was burning, and we thought it could spread, so we gave the order and then watched the building come down. We pulled it. And then we go to the jargon for pull it means controlled demolition. The same documentary.
Oh, yeah, it does.
In the same documentary, they're pulling down the wreckage of 4, 5, and 6, and they go, we're getting ready to pull it, and they hit the button, and you know, they bring it down.
All right, well, here's my question, though. Even if he did, even if they decided, let's bring that down, is there anything wrong with that, or are you saying something else?
Well, the official government report is, we don't know why it fell, we think fires. And then we've got the owner saying, the obvious, that it was brought down. And so this needs to be brought out and discussed, and Larry Silverstein needs to return my phone calls.
Well, I mean, what would you do if he said, look, Alex, God forbid the two towers came down. I'm there with all this rubble. There's nothing I could have done with Building 7. So we took it down.
I'd like to hear him say that. And then I would also ask, it normally takes about 4 or 5 days to do this properly, I'd like to ask how, with the building on fire, they were able to...
How'd you get it all with the demolition?
I mean, look, it's one of these things that's hidden in plain view. And again, I don't have the answers on this, George. We just simply ask the questions. And again, at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv, we have those clips of him saying it.
I think one of the most compelling things that has been going on here tonight, and things that you've pointed out, is that the blueprint for this was written about and talked about years before it happened.
Well, I've got articles in 95, group called Al-Qaeda planning to hijack jets and fly them in the buildings, and then I've got the Israelis and the British and the Germans and the Egyptians and the everybody, the Russians. It's going to happen. They're going to, I mean, the Arabs were printing up 40,000 calendars showing a jet flying into the World Trade Center. There were multiple rap bands and rock and roll bands, rock and roll bands called World Trade Center, where track 11 talks about 9/11, and I mean, it's bizarre, and TV shows about it happening, and FEMA reports a year before, and emergency terrorism response, all of this, and then Condoleezza Rice gets up and says, we never heard of such a plan. I mean, it's just, you got to start asking questions at this point.
Let's go to the phones. First time caller line, it's your turn. You're on with Alex Jones. Hi.
Hi, this is Terry. I'm calling from Temple.
Hi, Terry. Go ahead.
Welcome to Texas, by the way.
Thank you. Enjoying it.
Good. Alex, I am so glad to hear you. I used to listen to you a couple of years ago when you were on another radio station. And I just want to say, you talked about some stuff back in the early or late 90s before Y2K about black helicopters in Texas.
In fact, I just got some video up by Dallas where they're refurbishing 7 helicopters a week, old Bells. They're painting them black, and they admit, I have this from people that work on them there, that this is, quote, for FEMA. What does FEMA, they have like several thousand up there, what does FEMA need with thousands of black helicopters?
They're doing it in Temple, too.
Oh, it's going on in Temple?
Uh-huh.
I was there in, what's the town just south of Temple? Belton.
Belton.
I was in Belton, in fact, it's in Road to Tyranny, when they had the military, special forces out there doing a drill in 2000. They had the robots out there with shotguns, and this sounds crazy, folks. I've got video of it. And they blew up 2 old cars in the middle of town, and then the mayor gets up and announced terrorists have attacked, and the next day they announce it was a drill. And yeah, they had black helicopters, and it's all on video.
Yeah, I was here then. I had just moved back to Texas in January of 99. And got to listening to you, and I thought you were crazy at first, to be perfectly honest with you.
So did I, first.
Well, yeah, George. But we got to talking about this, and I'm ex-military. I'm also ex-special forces. And I said, well, let me call some people and let me do some checking. And I found out you were right, because some of the people I used to work with were some of the people that were doing what you said was going on.
Well, I mean, it was even in the front page of the Statesman here in Austin, headline, black helicopters attack Texas, part of Army drills. And they went into Kingsville, and I have video of all this. They went into Kingsville, Texas on the coast, and Corpus Christi and four other towns. The police chief in San Antonio, Ali Philippus, threw them out. They attempted to bribe the police chief. He talks about bags of cash. Man, I have video of this. And but in Kingsville, they went in. The police department had just moved to their new police department. 2 days after they moved, the public hadn't even noticed this. They lease the building, and then they fly in at dusk with eight black helicopters and blow the building up. We have footage of the building on fire, and there's troops running around, and they're screaming in this Slavic tongue. So I go to the police chief. This is in the film. I go, foreign troops? He goes, yeah, I can't talk about that. And then I got the locals. There's a nursing home, Casa Ricarda, right next door, and I'm talking to a lady. And the women were having heart attacks, and they attack commandos, hand grenades. You know, and I'm sitting. I mean, it's crazy. This is conditioning.
When is Hollywood going to do the Alex Jones story?
Oh, it's
who would play your part?
George Norrie.
No. I'm not getting close to that. Who would play the part of you?
I don't know.
Just think about that.
Some meathead, I'm sure, because I'm a meathead.
Jeff Bridges, maybe.
It'd be. I'll tell you this. I have had some adventures, and. He's telling me Tom Arnold over here. Mr. McDonald's telling me Tom Arnold.
No, Tom's too funny, no, I think.
No.
Somebody a little more serious. Let's see. Wildcard line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. How are you?
We're fine, thanks.
Yeah, good. I'm calling from St. Paul, Minnesota through KSTP.
Sure thing.
And I just heard you and Alex, I think about an hour ago, talking about the Social Security cards. George, you're older than I am, and I have a card that has it written clearly on the bottom margin.
Don't rub it in.
Huh?
Don't rub it in that I'm older than you.
What does your card say? Not for personal identification?
It says, for Social Security and tax purposes, not for identification.
Which is what you were saying, Alex.
Yeah.
But mine doesn't.
Mine says that.
And I got mine in 1966, 16 years old.
This was in the early 60s when I got this. I'm sure it was in the early 60s.
Wonder why they changed it.
Well, I don't know, but it amazes me that people have been breaking federal law for all these years and nobody said a word.
Yeah, the 86 Privacy Act is still in force. And,
look, the camp's still out on whether income tax is legal, isn't it?
I've actually seen the documents. It was not properly ratified in two-thirds of the states. In fact, right here in Texas, I've actually been down to the Secretary of State's office and looked at the document. And in Kentucky and a bunch of other states, it was not ratified. You can go to the states, and it was not ratified. And the feds just said it is, and that's the end of it.
And no court will back you up if you're suing or if you're charged with anything. I know a lot of people who have advocated, I pay taxes, you pay taxes, Alex. There are some people who don't because they claim they don't have to.
Yeah, I actually...
They never win in court.
I actually, on the Quicken, it has the settings, really safe, not safe, totally unsafe. Mm-hmm. I mean, I actually kind of pay extra because I just don't want to deal with it. And if they ever
you don't want the hassle.
And if they ever come at me, I can say, look, I paid you guys more. But there's all kinds of taxes that are constitutional. But a graduated income tax is totally unconstitutional. It happens to be in the Communist Manifesto, by the way. It's not very American, and it's very destructive. And it's written where nobody's following the rules. It's impossible to do it just right. I mean, they've had what Forbes has done. Big Studies magazine, where they'll hire like 50 different CPAs with the same information, same checks, and they get, 50 different answers.
I don't mind paying taxes as long as the money's being used for humanitarian and good defensive purposes.
And some of it is, a lot of it isn't. I mean, most of it's corporate welfare.
You don't have any doubt that there are some countries out there that would like to see us annihilated, do you?
Oh, absolutely. But again, they get us all in this primitive mode of defend America. We got to stand up against these people. The problem is our leaders are at best ignorant and at worst total puppets.
But let me ask you this. Would you, if you were running this government right now and you knew that Iran was making nuclear weapons, would you take it out?
Well, I would say, why is ABC News reporting today that our buddies, Pakistan, have given nukes, confirmed, to North Korea. And I would say, now, why are our friends giving actual nukes to North Korea? And why did Bush sign W199I ordering the FBI not to go after this Khan Laboratories and this Professor Khan who was doing all this? And so the question is, why is the BBC reporting that the British have been caught shipping key components to the Iranians? So I would go further and say our governments need to stop dropping the gun at their feet and going, go ahead and use it, punk. So that's kind of the angle I look at it from. And again, that's the argument for global government, is we can't allow people to have these weapons or we'll destroy ourselves. But then those arguing for global government are the ones handing out the weapons.
All right, but you didn't answer the question. Would you take out that plant?
Well, the Israelis did it in 1981 in Iraq.
Yeah, they did it in Iraq.
And I would say leave that up to countries that have the biggest military in the region and who are actually threatened by it. And at the same time, I think it's hypocritical to go in and attack Iran when our allies are handing nuclear weapons out. So, no, I don't think I would. I mean, look, Iran was the only country that said, let your inspectors in, do whatever you want, you can look at everything. And they've done that. And in 1953, we had a good leader in Iran. He was the man of the year. And he was anti-communist. And our government got greedy for the oil and went in and carried out terror attacks. This is now admitted. I heard Kermit Roosevelt on the radio admit they did this. They went in there and carried out attacks and blamed it on the elected president of Iran, and then put the puppet Shah in so they could get all the oil. And then later that got overthrown, and we got something 10 times worse, the Ayatollah Khomeini. So, again, it's order out of chaos. They give us these arguments that seem reasonable. Let's go defend America because we don't get nuked. Meanwhile, they're handing out nukes left and right. So, no, I would not attack Iran.
And getting contracts from those countries to do work there.
Well, that's it. I mean, in fact, under the sanctions with Iraq, only Halliburton was given a federal waiver to do it.
They did it with their offshore companies they set up.
Yeah, and then they said it's actually completely legal. Yeah, because you wrote the laws. But is it ethical? I mean, again, I want my family to be safe. And I want them to be safe to the point that I really take into account all the different geopolitical mechanisms that are involved in this interlocking thing. And I look at the greatest security threat, and it's the New World Order. Again, our leaders are just puppets, but there is this larger global force that is setting America up for destruction. And I think after they're done using us as this military force to take over the planet, they're going to hang us out to dry and blame us as the bad cop and have the good cop, the UN and the EU, come in to save the day.
You may be right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Alex Jones on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, hello. I'm calling from Oregon. This is a great show and one of my favorite guests. Alex, I just have a question. You know, I'm sitting here like many people wondering why isn't any of this in the mainstream media, and I'd like to hear from you if you have any discussions you can relate to. Just let us know what our reporters are saying. They must have the same information that you have. Why is this stuff not getting out there? I mean, there are concentration camps in the backyards of these people.
And it's too hot to handle.
Well, what do they say to you, though?
Well, I mean, I have to say that outlets like Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie and what Art Bell does, believe me, there's zero censorship. They let you talk about whatever you want. It's the real deal. But other than little watering holes like that in the Sahara-like desert, there isn't much. How the gatekeeping works is like this. You will see incredible documented news every day on the AP, Reuters, AFP, Bloomberg, Knight Ridder News Service. It's all there. That's what I go to. But the establishment gatekeepers at the big networks and the people that, if they don't ask the right questions, they don't get invited back to the news conference at the White House. Okay, or they don't get invited back. So it's kind of, you know, it's like an unwritten rule, and then now it's come out. I'm here to tell you it's thousands of these people are actually being paid by the White House and others to actually put out propaganda. But at the same time, it's just the real news doesn't get picked up. You'll see incredible stuff in regional newspapers. It never gets picked up by the nightly news, so people don't learn about it. What I do, what George does, I guess the rare breed out there that actually does this, is we spend hours every day going and looking for the stuff people missed, and then we try to bring it to you, in my small forum, and then here in this gargantuan, colossal forum, and then it breaks through that electronic Berlin Wall, like a giant, trillion candle spotlight.
Alex, mention your toll-free number again, would you? Some people are sending me messages. They didn't get it the first time, and also the videos.
Sure. I've made 12 films, and I've written a book, published a book, carried a bunch of other great books and videos, and you can call and ask about the different titles at 1-888-253-3139, 888-253-3139, or there's a secure, safe shopping cart at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.tv. You can, and by the way, some of my films, I just put half the film up there. You know, like, oh, here's an hour of my two-hour video for free. You can also go there and watch it, and I'm sure the audience will crash the servers again, but that's fine. The
goal, you love it.
I love it. Are you kidding? Yeah.
Crash the servers.
They swept off my feet by Coast to Coast AM.
You're going to come by and say hi to me tomorrow at the Austin Convention Center?
Well, I camped out here for 3 weeks, George.
Yes, you did.
And I'm camping out on top of the Austin Convention Center. I'm going to have a black helicopter land me there tomorrow. Yeah, if you'd like me to pop by, you're there, what, 2 to 4?
I'm there 2 to 4. Come on by and say hi. I bet that if there were like a World Series here in this state, you'd be able to get tickets because you'd wait in line 6 months as before they sold them.
That's right. I've been out there in a tent with the rain for days.
Anybody ever call you a bulldog?
A guy named George Noring.
Yep. That's your handle when you come on the show.
Well, thank you for the. Again, I'm humbled and honored, and it's this has been a terrific once in a lifetime experience to sit actually in the catbird seat in the cockpit as co-pilot with the great George Norrie in Coast to Coast AM.
How come you have a parachute and I don't?
Hey, you've got a rocket pack. You can, you know. It's a
Alex Jones, Alex, you got a wonderful city here in Austin, Texas.
Well, I wish it wasn't foggy and cold for you while you're here. It's a beautiful town. Just 3 or 4 days ago, it was like 70 degrees, but that's part of that weird weather. My parents growing up here, it used to snow a couple months out of the year. Things are changing.
Things are changing. Alex Jones, he calls it the way he sees it. And whenever he's on again, I'm sure he'll have a whole slew of material for us. Alex, thanks again. Appreciate you being on the program.
Thank you.
For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Karis Coburn, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, in Austin at KLBJ, Chuck Loesch, Thomas McDonald, and then always the master, Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.